Hello and welcome to the Racing Postcast, the Racing Post Horse Racing Audio Podcast. My name's Sam Hart and I'll be guiding you through the show this week. And yes, it's Royal Ascot, myself and two guests from the Racing Post, who I'll introduce in a moment. We'll be previewing some of the big races from the first 3 days of Royal Ascot. Bruce is going to be back with the postcast on Thursday this week with a preview of the final 2 days, so don't miss that later in the week. And there's plenty going on at the Racing Post this week. You can catch Good Morning Royal Ascot, join David Jennings, Paul Keeley, Natalie Green and other special guests at 8:30 a.m. Tuesday to Saturday this week. And there isn't going to be a better way to wake up with Good Morning Royal Ascot, a fantastic show. And then Monday to Friday at 6:30 p.m, join Ross Bridie and the team for In the Know. And then every afternoon during Royal Ascot, Dave Orton will be in the hot seat in the studio with Racing Post Live. Wow, what a week we have in store. Right, that's the admin out of the way. Let's get into the show and introduce my two guests. I've got Richard Birch, fresh off napping up It's How We Roll at Bath on Friday's postcast, and Chris Loader with his debut guest performance on the postcast. Birch, I'll have to start with you here. It's How We Roll went off 17-2, but I know it was much bigger prices when the betting markets were up. I know you're not on social media, but Bruce had plenty of messages that I saw with many people thanking you for the selection. That was some weekend for you.
It was very nice. Thanks very much. Managed to get the minimum amount allowed on 28-1, bit of 20-1, and then quite a lot at 12-1. So it was a fantastic Saturday. Yeah, thank you.
Superb. Well, hopefully you can find us some winners at Royal Ascot this week. And Chris, or Lucky Loader, most people might know you on Twitter for. I honestly can't wait for this week. The creme de la creme of flat racing. Plenty of top quality action to get stuck into. You're looking forward to it?
Yeah, should be about lots of good races. And yeah, I'm really looking forward to getting stuck into it. Over the last couple of days, I actually quite like the build-up. It's been going under the radar. It's not like Cheltenham, which seems to drag on throughout the national hunt season, even though I do love Cheltenham and the build-up to it. It's just nice to have a nice festival to look at. And we've not been waiting for ages, you know, and it's been nice seeing all the entries fill out over the last few days.
Yeah, it really is. Right, let's get this preview going then. We'll be looking through most of the group races from the first 3 days of Royal Ascot, but we'll also throw in the Royal Hunt Cup and hopefully find you a big price winner in that. The first race we're going to be looking at is on the Tuesday, and it's certainly not a betting prospect, but we get to see the unbeaten star Baid, who is 7 from 7. It was only just over a year ago he made his debut at Leicester, which is crazy. The betting currently looks like this. Baid's 5-1 on with most bookmakers at the moment. Real World 8-1, Chinder 18-1, Order Australia 22, Lights on 28, and then 50-1 about Accidental Agent and Sir Busker. Birch, I'll start with you. Baid, a horse who's looking like a future star. A lot of comparisons with Frankel. May still be early days to be making those comparisons, but have you been impressed by him?
I don't think it is early days to be making comparisons. Everyone says he's the best horse they've seen since Frankel. I think that's a certainty. Everyone's right. I'd go a step further. I mean, during my lifetime, I've seen on the flat three horses that are true greats. Nashwan, back in the 80s, he could win at a mile, he could win at a mile and a quarter, and he absolutely romped home in the Derby. And See the Stars, who was exactly the same, he could win at a mile and a quarter, won the Derby, Arc, everything. You know, those two horses had everything. Baid reminds me very much of those two. He's got everything. He's a champion. He's got the most wonderful cruising speed. He's got an electric turn of foot. He's unbeaten, which is always sexy. And I'm not going to say he's going to be as good as Frankel, but I think there's going to be a point later in this season, maybe after the Sussex Stakes, when people start saying he's not that far behind him. And tomorrow, of course, it should be a walk in the park.
Yeah, it should be. And like I say, Chris, not a betting prospect in the Queen Anne Stakes, but it's a really fantastic way to open the Royal Meeting.
Yeah, it is. Baid, he should be hard to beat. I couldn't really add much more to what Richard said. I think the comparisons with Frankel, I think you have to sit up and take note with the fact that he's unbeaten. I think until he retires, people might never put him in the same category as Frankel. I think Frankel was just a one-off with the story of Sir Henry Cecil as well. So I think he should take all the beating here in the Queen Anne. I struggled to find a better angle. I looked at maybe Real World. in the without the favourite market. I had a look yesterday. He was around about 6-4. I think he shortened up to around about even money in places. That wouldn't tempt me in to go at even money. So, yeah, I think Bide will do the business in the opener for the Shadwell boys. And I think Real World will follow him home. Real World obviously finished second to him in the lock-in stakes at Newbury. And I think it'll be those two in the places.
Yeah, it's a no betting race, but look, it's going to be fantastic to see him hopefully strut his stuff in the opener on Tuesday. Right, let's move on to the first two-year-old race we're going to be covering. This is the Coventry Stakes at 3:05, a Group 2 over 6 furlongs. And the current favourites, joint favourites, are Blackbeard and Persian Force at 3-1. Age of Kings for Aidan O'Brien, 13-2. Bradsell, 8-1. Royal Scotsman, 10-1. And 20-1, bar those in here. Now, Chris, I don't know how you kind of, you know, you look at these two-year-old races, because obviously we don't know a hell of a lot about a lot of these at the moment, but we're going to learn a lot during this Royal meeting about these two-year-olds.
Yeah, we certainly are. It's very tricky, I think, to come down with a real good selection. Blackbeard, obviously, is three from three, I should say, unbeaten. He's got all the right connections and probably deserves just to be favourite. Persian Force is another one. Been popular in the Ammo Racing colours. Again, you can see why he's right up there with the market principles. I'm just a little bit concerned about Aidan O'Brien's stable form. I was looking into it earlier, and he's only 2 from 22. And I think his last winner was Tuesday in the Oaks. So he's not had a winner for a couple of weeks nearly. And some of his horses in Ireland have been getting beaten at short prices. So I might want to take on a few of the Aidan O'Brien horses this week. And the one that I thought might be able to step up from his debut effort, but so could several of these, was Scholarship for Clive Cox and Adam Kirby. I was really impressed on his debut when he won at Haydock, and he was really getting going in the last furlong. And I think he won a shade cosily, and he could easily have more in the locker. Clive Cox won this with Nando Prado a couple of years ago at 150-1. So it wouldn't be a surprise to see him run well. He's drawn towards the stand side as well and still 16, which is a thing I like at Ascot. I don't know why. I think just the last few years, a lot of winners seem to come towards the middle to high. So I think he's in a good part of the track. I think he'll get a good turn to the race. And yeah, a nice each way price with a few places on offer with some firms. I think he could definitely be there or thereabouts.
Scholarship, a 25-1 shot for the Coventry currently. Bertie, with these two-year-old races, do they make much appeal for you at all?
Not at all, no. Don't bet. I only bet in handicap, so not at all. But it's quite funny because I was smiling then. I've actually written down on my notes, Scholarship. So everything Chris has said, he's seen the same clues as me. I thought he's visually very impressive, as Chris said. I also like the fact he mentioned the draw. I agree with Chris there on you want to be high. And we've got Blackbeard in 14. We've got the other one Chris mentioned, Persian Force in 12. And we've got Scholarship in 16. So the three horses that I've picked out for the race are all sort of drawn near to one another. And if we're right and they're the sort of horses you should be focusing on, whether there's a draw advantage or not, they could be, you know, the best three in the race, and that's where the winner's going to come from. So, you know, it sounds like I'm copying, really. I'm not. I've actually written down Scholarship, and he's my bet in the race.
Okay, Scholarship, potentially like a joint selection there, 25-1, maybe a big price for the Clive Cox, Adam Kirby team there. Right, let's move on to the King Stand at 3:40. This is a Group 1 over 5 furlongs. What a fantastic race this is. We see so many nations taking part. We've got Australia, America, United Kingdom, Ireland, and even the Czech Republic have a runner in here. And it's great to have a Royal winner in King's Lynn in here at this stage as well. So the betting looks like this. Nature Strip, the Aussie horse is 5-2. Golden Power, the American Raiders, 3-1. Twilight Calls, 8-1. Man of Promise, 12-1. King's Lynn, 14s and 18s, bar those. Like I say, Birchie, it's great to have all these international runners come over. A lot of talk about both Nature Strip and Golden Pal. Would you be with one of these two?
Look, I've got no idea, honestly. I mean, I don't know anything about Australian form. I don't know anything about American form. All I know is that I'm reading quotes from Wesley Ward that this is best horse he's ever sent over, but I seem to remember he says that quite often. Nature Strip, you know, the Aussies, like nothing better than coming over and beating the Brits on their home ground. They wouldn't be coming if they didn't think the horse was going to win. So you know, it's going to be a fascinating clash. I'm looking forward to watching it. I wouldn't be surprised in this particular instance if both of them got turned over. If they do get turned over, the horse at an each way price is Twilight Calls.
Okay, Twilight Calls. Yeah, Ryan Moore's in fine form this season. Chris, what about yourself? It takes a lot of looking into this race when you've got all these international raiders. Who are you with?
Yeah, I've actually got quite a strong angle into this. I'm really keen to take the two at the top of the market on. Golden Powell came over for the Nunthorpe last year and I thought it was extremely disappointing. I think he'll go hard, he'll try and make all, but I just wonder if he might empty in the last furlong and will get picked off. I think Nature Strip is obviously interesting for the Australians. Chris Waller, he's been very bullish in some of his comments, but he's a seven-year-old and I don't know, it's just something about his profile. I've seen a couple of Aussie sprinters in recent years come over here. I think Redcap Warrior was one that was quite highly touted. He never really did it. I just think you can't take that form on trust when they're coming to Royal Ascot. Bertie mentioned Twilight Cools. I'm not sure why he is the price he is. I liked a couple of the bigger prices. I liked two of the rags of the field. I thought Mondamage. Now, people might laugh when they hear this one, but he finished fourth last time out at Haydock, and he was running on very strongly. He will love the strongly run race. He likes the quick ground. He'll be coming from off the pace. Arecibo finished second in this race last year. That had a fairly similar profile, done well in handicaps, and then was able to nick a place. You're getting nearly, 14 to 1 for him to finish maybe in the first five with some firms. Mm-hmm. I think that's more appealing to me than backing, say, Nature Strip and Golden Powell for the win. So Mondamed was on my radar, and so was St. Lawrence. Put a line for his run in Chantilly last time out. That was on soft ground. He doesn't like soft ground. But he actually beat Twilight Calls in the Palace House Stakes in Newmarket. Roger Varin briefly been campaigning him over six, seven furlongs. And in one stables tours this year, I saw him saying that they were going to really try the bare minimum five furlongs. I think he took to it well in the Palace House Stakes. They're putting on just to mention his attention. He wasn't on his game at Chantilly. There was just something, his attitude, you could definitely question it. Blinkers can liven him up a bit. He's got some form with some of these single figure prices that he's beaten. I just couldn't see why he was such a bigger price. And again, he's got the stamina for further. So if he's maybe in the middle of the pack, I think he could nick a place as well. I think two big prices there, they're more appealing to me than the ones at the front of the market. And yeah, they'll be who I'll be backing on the day.
There we go. Mondamage and St. Lawrence, the two outsiders of the field, both 80 to 1. You can currently get those at. And Birchie's going to be with Twilight Calls. And let's go on to the final race that we're going to be looking into on the opening day. This is the St. James's Palace Stakes at 4:20, a Group 1 for the three-year-old colts over a mile. And we get to see the 2,000 guineas winner come back out here in Coroebus, currently 4-5 favourite. My Prospero's 9-2, Maljum 10-1, Mighty Ulysses 14s, New Energy 25s, and 33-1, bar those. Chris, the 2,000 guineas winner was very impressive. I think the 2,000 guineas was a very good race, but seems like this horse has been drifting in the market the last few days.
Yeah, and I can see why. I think he's one of the worst favourites of the week. I can't understand why he's odds on. I really can't. I'm not sure actually about the guineas. Going into it, all the right horses were there, but I know Native Trail has boosted the form by winning the Irish 2000 guineas, but I don't know. It just seemed a bit of a muddling race to me. And even though the vibes from Charlie Appleby's yard have said that in the long term they think Coroebus will be a better horse than Native Trail, I just don't know. He's still two. It's a bigger field. He's going to have horses to run through. Don't get me wrong, he should be the favourite. But if I was pricing him up, I'd rather have him maybe run about the 6-4 kind of mark. I don't think he should be odds on. And therefore, I think he's worth taking on. And the horse that I am going to take him on with is the second favourite, My Prospero. I was really impressed by his attitude when he won the Heron Stakes, which is a path that Without Parole took to when he won this race back in 2018. In the final furlong, he was very impressive where he beat Reach to the Moon, who might be going for the Jersey Stakes later in the week. I just think there's a lot more to come from Mai Prospero. He's got a lovely pedigree as well. He's a half brother to Mai Oberon and Mai Astra, who I think is going to be a horse to follow this season for William Haggas. They know the family inside out. He's not got a bad draw in stall seven. I don't think he'll be too far from off the pace. And if Tom Marquand can get him into a good position, I just think he might be able to leave him for dead. And I think he can beat Coroebus. And yeah, that's why he's one of my stronger fancies of the Royal Ascot meeting.
Okay, and Mai Prospero for Chris there. But it is interesting seeing Haggas having the second and third favourite in here with two horses who have plenty of potential. Would you be with the jolly here?
Yeah, massively. Disagree with Chris on that one. When you see a horse in a group one, and particularly in a classic, cruising over a furlong out, still hard on the bridle, normally means the horse's rampant superiority is the term that comes to mind. Coroebus was absolutely cruising over a furlong out. He's got push button acceleration, going around the bend shouldn't be any bother at all. He's got the best jockey riding at the moment in William Buick. I think he'll win easily.
Okay, yeah, Coroebus, yeah, potentially some people's banker of the week. So yeah, Mai Prospero for Chris and Coroebus for Birchie there. Right, before we move on to the Wednesday, let's just see if there's any other bets on the Tuesday. Birchie, anything else you're looking at?
His favourite in the Ascot Stakes, but you just go through the last 15 years, look at the records, it's Willie Mullins with a higher rated hurdler. Bring on the Night, it's got that perfect profile for this race. Ryan Moore was booked a long time ago, I believe. Yeah, that's stands out to me. I know it's hardly original, but Bring on the Night for me.
Okay, bring on the Night in the Ascot Stakes. And Chris, anything else for you on the opening day?
Yeah, in the 5 o'clock, I like one in the Ascot Stakes that Bertie was just talking about. That race, I quite like one at a price, Scaramanga for Holly Doyle and Paul Nicholls. I just think the key to this horse could be the ground. He's not encountered this kind of ground many times during his career, but when he encountered it last year at Newbury, okay, he is off a £6 higher mark now, but he was very impressive that day. And I just think with the booking of Holly Doyle, if you can get him out into a good position from stall one, he will be going forward. He's going to avoid a lot of the traffic that sometimes you get in these big handicap races. And I've noticed in some of these big field handicaps, you don't want to be too far back. And I think he will be ridden forward. And if he can break on terms, I think he can definitely outrun his odds with some extra places on the day. In the Wolverton, I thought new mandate was interesting. I think the step up and trip could suit him. He's a horse that I know Ralph Beckett thinks very highly of. He was a promising juvenile. He went off the boil at three a little bit, but then he returned to action this year when he won at he won the Queen Anne trial back in April at the course. So he's definitely got a bit of course form. Okay, this is over a slightly different track, but I just think the step up and trip will really suit him. And I thought he was too big a price, but you just do have to forgive that lock-in try, which I know will be a concern for some people, but I couldn't leave him going unmentioned. And the other one I quite liked was in the Copper Horse Stakes. I thought Platinum Card could go well. Ryan Sexton has been riding very well this season. He's definitely an apprentice jockey you want to be keeping on side. He's claiming five here for Gordon Elliott. This horse was previously with Keith Dalgleish. And last year he progressed very well on the flat. He's an interesting horse. He's been campaigned a lot over hurdles, but on the flat last year, he progressed very well through the handicap ranks, and he finished second behind the Bay Bridge at York in a handicap. He was only beaten half length. Okay, there was a little bit of difference at the weights, but yeah, I think he's a horse that I think he can outrun his odds. And yeah, I think with the ground drying out, I think that's going to suit him as well. And he's a horse I want to keep on side. So yeah, a couple of other horses there to note for Tuesday.
There we go. Plenty of horses and plenty mentioned for a lot of dual purpose trainers there. Willie Mullins, Paul Nicholls, Gordon Elliott. So yeah, good horses to keep an eye out and some decent prices there. Right. Join us in just a second. We'll be back with our preview of Wednesday, where we might see that Bay Bridge could be the banker of the week. Racing Post Members Club is the ultimate racing subscription, helping you to stay ahead of the field. It includes unlimited access to the Racing Post digital newspaper, replays from all UK and Irish race courses, and helpful tools such as enhanced race cards, the horse tracker, and an extensive database of statistics. We've got a special offer just for Royal Ascot. Until the 19th of June, you can get 25% off your first year of Members Club Ultimate Annual. To redeem this offer, head to racingpost.com and click on subscribe. Then select Get Ultimate Yearly and enter the code RULE22 at the checkout. Your first payment will be charged at £261.75. Subscription renews at full annual price thereafter. Members Club, stay ahead of the field. Welcome back to the Racing Postcast from myself, Sam Hart, Richard Birch and Chris Loader. We're going to be moving in to Wednesday's racing now, and we'll start off with the Queen Mary Stakes at 2:30. It's a Group 2 for the two-year-old fillies over 5 furlongs. Your betting looks like this. Love Rain, the Wesley Ward runner, is 3-1. Dramatised is 11-2. Katie Content, 10-1. Maria Brownwell's also 10-1. Lady Tilbury and Yarsat, 16-1. We're looking at 20-1. Bar those in here. Chris, Love Reigns, this is a lot of people's Wesley Ward banker of the week. Can you see why?
I can see why, but I just think it comes out of respect. Wesley Ward, in the last couple of years, he's not been lighting it up when he's been coming over. He's not had too many winners. I don't know how many he's had off hands, but it's been a while. Quite a few of them have been beaten at short prices, and I think there's value to be had elsewhere. One I quite like at a price was All the Time for James Doyle and Simon Ed Crisford. I saw her win at Nottingham a couple of weeks ago, and I was really taken with her. She showed a really high cruising speed, and she never really came out of second gear. She's actually owned by the Royal Ascot Racing Club, so I don't know if that's a clue in itself. James Doyle rode her at Nottingham. He keeps the ride here. She'll be handy. She'll be up with the speed. Still 13. It's not the worst draw in the world. Simon Ed Crisford always seem to have a good juvenile filly. They've done quite well with their juvenile fillies in recent years. And I think she's a horse you want to be keeping on side. And at 16-1, probably be extra places on the day. She would definitely be a strong each way fancy for me in the race.
Okay, All the Time. Yeah, a decent price there. And Birchie, for yourself, who do you like in the Queen Mary this year?
I have to go on sort of stats, really, and Wesley Ward, he's won it three times, hasn't he, in the last 6 years or something. Love Reigns, you know what's going to happen. She's going to come bursting out the stalls and probably be two or three lengths clear after a furlong. Will she stay on? That's the typical American sprinter, isn't it? I look through the field, and there's absolutely nothing there that really stands out to me. So I'm going to be boring and pick Love Reigns.
Okay, right, yeah, Love Reigns for Birchie, yeah, potentially an absolute rocket in the Queen Mary. Let's move on to the Queen's Vase then, the 3:05 on Wednesday. Group 2 over 1¾ miles, and we've actually got Bruce Millington's banker of the week in here that you put up on the postcast last week. We've got Nahani at 6-1 is your favourite, Hafit 15-2. Bruce's tip, Eldar Elderoff, is 8-1. Al-Kareem and Perfect Alibi, 10-1 and 12-1. Bar those in here. Nahani is an interesting one because that horse was well touted for prior to the Derby this year, Birchie. And I know Charlie Appleby did come out saying this horse might be a ledger contender in time. And obviously, we're potentially going to see whether he's up to ledger class right now. Do you think he's the one to beat?
I think he is probably the one to beat. He's got the form in the book. Obviously, he comes from a Red Hot stable, Red Hot connections. But when I did that postcast on Friday, as you've already mentioned, Bruce put up this Roger Varian horse. And in the afternoon, I went and had a sneaky look on the video. And I see exactly where Bruce is coming from. That Newcastle video, he's very impressive. He's extremely strong at the finish. That was over a mile and a quarter. Looks like a step up to a mile and six is going to really suit him. And Roger Varian is an absolute dab hand at bringing these young, unexposed stayers forward. I think Bruce is on the right track here, and I'm going with him. Right. Elderoff for me.
Okay, yeah, joining Bruce on the Elderoff train at 8-1. Chris, for yourself in here, you have won the Godolphin too?
No, I just think they might have been a little bit hurt ahead of their development compared to other horses earlier on in the season. And I just wonder if they're a bit exposed now, and it might favour to go with some of the more unexposed types. And Elderoff is definitely on my shortlist. That form at Newcastle has already taken a couple of boosts in the last couple of weeks. I saw Honiton won at Sandown at the weekend, so that's definitely a positive. He could easily have more development to come, and you have to respect him. I just thought maybe his inexperience might get him here. I'm willing to take one on at a bigger price. I thought Baltic Bird was interesting for the Gosdens. Frankie booked up. His win at Yarmouth, I thought, was very, very impressive. He made all that day, and he looked like he could have easily more to come. I just think it's interesting that they're coming here. He's got a handicap rating of 92. If they thought he was a handicap good thing, maybe they could have been running in the handicap, but maybe they think he's better than a handicapper. And I just thought 12 to 1. The Gosdens have done well in this race in the past. I think Stradivarius, didn't he win this race for the Gosdens when he was coming through the ranks? I just could see him being the type that could develop into a ledger horse, and I can understand why he was such a bigger price. I think it'd be interesting to see how the market reacts on the day. I think the market might have a different complexion come post time. So yeah, I if I had to give a main selection for the race, Baltic Bird would probably be the one.
It's quite an open market, isn't it? Baltic Bird 14 to 1 currently. Chris's selection, Eldar Off, Birchie, and Bruce's selection is 8 to 1. Let's move on to the highlight then of day two, which is the 3:40, the Prince of Wales Stakes, Group One over 1.2 miles. And we've only got a field of 5 declared this morning, but it is a fairly quality field. And here we've got Baybridge as your 11 to 8 favourite, Shariah for Japan 7 to 2, State of Rest 11 to 2, a winner of this race already, Lord North 8 to 1, and Grand Glory, the French trader that was supplemented only recently, is 8 to 1. Chris, we were actually speaking with regards to Baybridge before the run at Sandown, and we said that this horse potentially could turn out to be a bit of a star, and he has done, and a lot of people are lining him up as the banker of the week.
Yeah, I can see why. He's a bit shorter than I probably wanted, but I do think he is the most likely winner of the race. As you say, at Sandown, he was very impressive. He couldn't have won more easily. He's the typical Sir Michael Stout horse, isn't he, that just as improving. He was very good last year as a three-year-old. I think he had one or two issues because we didn't see him until the back end when he came out and won a couple of races in October at York, and then he took the step up to win a listed race at Newmarket. He's got the natural progression about him. Shera, you have to respect, from Japan. He could make it a tactical affair. Be interesting to see who makes the running in here. I suspect that Christian Jamuro, I think there was some quotes came out saying that he would be happy to make the running. And if it does get into a tactical affair, that might not suit the Baybridge. But to be fair, it was a small field when he won at Sandown. So that probably wouldn't put him off. But I do think he is the most likely winner. 11 to 10, is he? Maybe a bit too short for me.
Okay, yeah, potentially too short for you, Baybridge, at this moment in time. But I looked at this race and I thought the Lord North might be overpriced. Course and distance winner, like I say, won this race before. I wouldn't have said Connections would be too disappointed last time with the run in the Tattersall's Gold Cup. Would he be your angle, or would you be with the Jolly again?
No, I'm going to be boring, and I'm with Baybridge. You know, I was out that Sandown evening meeting, didn't watch it live, came in and watched the videos, and he was absolutely electric. And I don't know the figures, but I would say over the last 20 years, Sir Michael Stout must have had about 10 winners of that race that go on to Royal Ascot. And most of them either win or run extremely well. And he's just got the absolute bang ideal profile for this race. He's probably improving past Lord North. So, yeah, he does look a very strong favourite. But, you know, once again, with these races at Royal Ascot, I mean, we've got a Japanese horse, we've got a French horse, and I don't know anything about Japanese form, and I don't know anything about French form. So I'm not going to be smashing in at a short price.
Yeah, the French horse is interesting. Actually beat a Byron, a listed race over in France at the start of the season. That horse then came out and finished, I think, Byron finished third in the Dahlia Stakes behind Dreamloper, who's since come out and won in France in the Prix d'Espagne and announced herself as a potential Nassau contender for Goodwood later in the season. But yeah, the supplementation of Grand Glory is very interesting with Barcelona already booked on board. But Baybridge, definitely the one to beat, and potentially he could be one to look forward to in the arc later on in the season. Let's go on to the next race we'll look at. It's the Duke of Cambridge Stakes at 4:20, a Group 2 for the fillies and mares over 1 mile. Saffron Beach is your 100-30 favourite. Mother Earth 4-1. Bashkova's 11-2. Sibyla Spain and November 8-1. And then we're looking at 20-1. Bar these in here. I mean, my best bet of the week actually comes in this race here. But I'll let you kick things off, Birchie. Who do you like?
Saffron Beach, underrated. I think if she, you know, Jane Chappell-Hyam's an excellent trainer. I think if Saffron Beach was trained by, you know, a more high profile trainer, say she was trained by Sir Michael Stout, I mean, she'd be getting a lot more, people would be raving more about her than they do as it is. She absolutely thrashed Mother Earth at Newmarket last autumn. I know she's got the penalty, but that's deserved because, you know, she won the group race. I think she's got an outstanding chance. I'm looking at the other runners. I think it's a really weak group two. Apart from, you know, Mother Earth, of course, is a very decent mare. But I think Saffron Beach is just going to totally outclass them. And maybe I'm wrong, but I think she's a very worthy favourite.
Yeah, I think she's probably definitely going to be the one to beat in it. It's the one worry that I've got with regards to my selection, Sevilla Spain. I think Sevilla Spain for the Christopher Head Stable. I think they're fairly confident. I spoke to Christopher literally just yesterday, and he did say that this horse has a really good chance in the way that the race may be run. They think it could be set up for an expected big run at 8-1. Chris, are you with Birch with Saffron Beach?
No, I'm going to take her on, but I do think she is the most... She is the horse that I think they all have to beat. I think that's the angle you have to take in, and you think, can we get a beat? And I think, yes, we can in a tactical race. And the one that I had a second look at, I kind of disrespected her at first, but then I went back and had a look, was the German Raider November. Now, she's quite an interesting filly. She always, it seems, takes a run to get a fit and get a spot on. I think she's won on her second start every season, and she took a massive step forward last year from her reappearance. She went on to win the German 1000 guineas. Now, that's only a group two, and you have to admit that this is definitely a class above, but she was very impressive when she won that day. She actually ran at Royal Ascot last year when she finished fourth, and she wasn't disgraced at all when she finished fourth in the Coronation Stakes behind Alcohol Free, Snow Lantern, who both went on to win group ones after that. She was only just beaten by Mother. She's a lightly paced angle. She likes to go forward. There's not too much pace on in here from what I can see. And I just think she could maybe spring a surprise. I think she's maybe gone under the radar here, and it would be interesting to see how the market reacts on the day. But yeah, I thought November could definitely outrun her odds.
Okay, Birchie with Saffron Beach, myself with the French Raider Sevilla Spain, and Chris is going to go with the German Raider November at the same price of 8-1. Let's move on to the final race we'll preview on the Wednesday then. This is the only handicap we're going to be covering, but one of my favourite handicaps of the week is the Royal Hunt Cup at 5 o'clock. Heritage Handicap over a mile. Your betting looks like this. Astro King and Dark Shift, they're your 8-1 favourites. Legend of Dubai, 11-1. Magical Morning, the top weights, 12-1. Totally Charming is also 12s, and then 20-1 bar those in here. It's an interesting one, this one, Birchie. Now we get into the races where you've really got to delve into the form and all of the weights. I think the Magical Morning with Benoit de la Sayre claiming five, I think he's a fantastic jockey. I think that's a fantastic jockey booking there for Magical Morning. I think he's going to run a massive race. Would you be with one of the favourites in here at 8-1, or do you think there's definitely some prices to be taken?
Well, I love the Royal Hunt Cup, just like you. I mean, I had probably my biggest ever coup in the Hunt Cup when Red Robbo won it back in the 90s. And it's always been it's probably one of my favourite races of the entire year, sort of outside of the lower grade handicaps, which I specialise in. I always think for this race, the winner comes from one of two categories. First categories is the Red Robbo school, where you're laid out for the race for about 14, 16, 18, 2 months, 2 years. You come into the race with a couple of noughts next to your name, and then you absolutely take off on the day that it really matters, which is exactly what happened with Red Robbo. Or the other category is you get a horse that suddenly begins to improve at a rapid rate of knots, wins on its last start by three or four lengths on the bridle, and obviously it shortens up considerably in the betting, but it goes into the race at the absolute top of its game, improving a rate of knots, and could quite easily be, by the end of the season, a Group 3 horse. And the horse that absolutely smacks of that second category this time is Dark Shift. Thought he was extremely impressive at Nottingham. Massive cruising speed, great turn of foot, likes the ground. Charlie Hills is, you know, great in these sort of races. Got a good record in this race. And, I think he's only 8 or 10 to 1, but I think he might take a bit of beating.
Okay, a dark shift. The New Zealand-born jockey James McDonald has been booked on for Charles Hill. So that's going to be really interesting for Charlie Hill, having him booked on. I think he's a fantastic jockey. Chris, with yourself in here, I'm sure we know you like a big price. Is there one at sort of a huge price that you like?
Not the biggest price I'm ever going to put up, but there was one that looked like it might have been plotted out for it. Obviously, several of them would have been, but I thought Symbolize for Harry Davis claiming five for Andrew Bolden. Finished second at Thirsk earlier on in the season. I'm not sure why we haven't seen him, but I just wonder if this race has been in the back of their minds after he finished second behind Al Dari in the Balmoral Handicap. He beat Magical Morning there. And I just think that Andrew Bolden, after that race, thought, we're going to go to Royal Ascot next year and we're going to target the Royal Hunt Cup. He's booked Harry Davis, who's been doing very well in recent weeks, riding plenty of winners, getting lots of good opportunities from Andrew Bolden. He claims a £5, which in essence, he's running off a marker of 99. He's drawn in still 29. It'll be towards that stand side rail. He's been a bit of a stalwart in some of these handicaps, and I think it could just be his day. And again, you'll get extra places with probably lots of bookmakers. I thought he was a good each way bet in the race, and who knows, he might be good enough to win. So Symbolize it is for me.
I mentioned Benoit de la Sarthe there, and Harry Davies is another one of the apprentices. Those two are just the top of their game, and honestly, they're going to make some superb jockeys in the future. They're already making a massive name for themselves now. So Symbolize for Chris and Dark Shift for Birchie in the Royal Hunt Cup. Now, Birchie, I know you haven't got any other bets for the Wednesday, but Chris, you mentioned that you will have another couple that you're looking forward to. Who is it on the Wednesday that you're looking?
Yeah, it's just the one on the Wednesday, and it's in the last race. And I think I've got a bit of a cliff horse here. It's Technique for Freddie and now Martin Mead. And they've got Benoit de la Sarthe right here. He's claiming 5. This horse, Technique, I just keep falling for her. I was on her at Epsom last time out. She was really disappointing, but I just think the ground went against her. She was actually said in the stewards after that that she needed better ground. She's got quite a lot of good form next to her name. She finished second on her seasonal reappearance behind Noon Star. Her run in the Nassau was very good behind Lady Beaufort. If she's anywhere near that kind of level, I think she's a player here. I think the big field setup could suit her. And this isn't a particularly strong race. I didn't think there was loads of fillies in here that had lots in hand. I couldn't find lots that were maybe had £10 in hand, which you probably need to win this race. So I'm going with a bit of a class angle, and I just had to put her up. She'll probably be at the back of the telly, but we all know we have these cliff horses, and Technique was one for me that I just couldn't let her go unbacked.
Hey, Technique, one that Chris is looking forward to on the Wednesday. That's it for all of the Wednesday's racing that we're going to be previewing. Join us in just a moment where we're going to be seeing if the gents think Stradivarius can win his 4th Ascot Gold Cup. Racing Post Members Club is the ultimate racing subscription, helping you to stay ahead of the field. It includes unlimited access to the Racing Post digital newspaper, replays from all UK and Irish race courses, and helpful tools such as enhanced race cards, the horse tracker, and an extensive database of statistics. We've got a special offer just for Royal Ascot. Until the 19th of June, you can get 25% off your first year of Members Club Ultimate Annual. To redeem this offer, head to racingpost.com and click on subscribe. Then select Get Ultimate Yearly and enter the code RULE22 at the checkout. Your first payment will be charged at £261.75. Subscription renews at full annual price thereafter. Members Club, stay ahead of the field. Welcome back to the Racing Postcast from myself, Sam Hart, Chris Loader and Richard Birch, where we preview the final day that we're going to be looking at, which is day 3 of the Royal Ascot meeting. We'll kick things off with the 2:30, which is the Norfolk Stakes. This is another 2-year-old race, a group 2 over 5 furlongs. And we get Batash's full brother in here, the Antarctic, is your 11-4 favourite. Warbanks 13-2, Clearpoint 15-2, Little Big Bear and Persian Force. Persian Force won't be going, he'll be going for the Coventry. That was 8-1, 10-1 about Love Range and Dramatise, and then 12-1. Bar those in here. Birchie, the favourite here is actually quite interesting. Obviously unbeaten, but looking back at his last two runs, it's been fairly difficult. Would you be willing to take him on?
Definitely. Well, a little story with this race. When I do my videos, I say I only do lower grade handicaps. And I was going through the air video a few weeks ago for a meeting there. And by mistake, I ended up watching a two. I was supposed to be a 0-55 handicap in which I'd back the second. And the video, wrong video came up, and it was a 2-year-old maiden or novice stakes or whatever it was. And happened to see Clearpoint win the race, and it was absolutely. I saw it and I thought, my God, what's that? And I went back and looked at it and everything. And so I don't have trackers. I write things down, and I actually wrote down Royal Ascot 2-year-old. And anyway, that's the one. Clearpoint. I hear you say it's 15-2. Thought he's very, very impressive at Ayr, very impressive. I've done a bit more research and I see he's entered in a Group One in Ireland in August. So he's clearly very, very highly regarded by a stable who know exactly what they're doing. I think he's a good bet of 15-2, Clearpoint.
Yeah, I was very impressed as well with Clearpoint. Richard Vy, definitely his best 2-year-old, and obviously in the colours of Perfect Power. And Oshie Nor takes the victory. He's obviously had quite a few rides for Richard Vy. He recently, I'm sure he's going to become the stable jockey potentially for Vy. Chris, you're probably the same as Birch here. The Antarctic has looked very difficult. Maybe we'll come on a hell of a lot run from run, but I'd definitely be willing to take him on.
Yeah, I'll have to take him on. Like I mentioned earlier in the podcast, Aidan O'Brien's form can be questioned at the moment, so you'll have to see how he's doing in the first couple of days. If his stable aren't performing, then I could see the Antarctic drifting. But what do you take him on with? The one that I quite like is Andrew Bolden's Bakil. I was very taken by his debut win over this course and distance. He was actually the outsider of the whole field, but you couldn't have been more impressed by what he did. He achieved an RPR of 94. I think there could be a lot more to come from him, and he's 8-1. That's probably a fair enough price. It depending on how he's drawn, I think I might have a saver on him. So Bakil would be my selection in the Norfolk.
Hey, Bakil, I was there at Ascot the last day when he ran. He was very good. The form behind may be questionable, but we'll have to wait and see. And obviously, Birchie with Clearpoint for the Fahey stable. Let's move on to the 340 at Ascot now. This is the Ribblesdale Stakes, Group 2, over a mile and a half for the 3-year-olds, 3-year-old filly thing. And it's very interesting because I've just seen on the Racing Post website that Emily Upjohn will not be taking her place in this race. Currently priced up as your 8-11 favourite. Obviously, the declarations aren't out yet, but she's 8-11 in the market. Sea Silk Road 7-2. Life of Dreams 8-1. Magical Lagoon 10-1. And then we're looking at 12-1 and bigger, the rest of them. Chris, now Emily Upjohn's out, it becomes potentially a little bit more of an open race. Sea Silk Road's obviously going to go a clear favourite in this market, at the height of Fashion Stakes winner at Goodwood last time. Potentially lots of improvements come, and Tom Marquand takes the ride.
Cedar Ross, sorry, Sea Silk Road will, like you say, probably go favourite. I'm not sure about her though. She only just won a Goodwood, and I think there could be a few others at some bigger prices. The one, obviously, is I'm looking at the market and it is going to cut up, that I thought was a big price, but interesting to see what price she does go off is George Bowie's Mystic World. She came second, in the Lingfield Oaks trial. They missed the Oaks. I wonder if that was to come here. Maybe they want to give her a little bit more time. But I think the key to her could be quick ground, which we should still have on the Thursday. I think it's going to get in hotter in the week. So if the conditions are on the quick side, maybe Mystic Wells could go well at an each way price. But yeah, I haven't had much form study on that one, I should say. Now we know that Emily Upjohn's out.
Yeah, exactly. Mystic Wells. Obviously, we haven't got the full declarations as of yet for Thursday's racing. Mystic Wells currently 33-1. That may shorten now with the markets sorting themselves out once Emily Upjohn's been taken out of those markets. Becomes a bit of an interesting race now, Birchie, now she's out of it.
Yeah, I would have taken her on anyway. The Oaks is, you know, it was only 2 weeks ago, and she had to, you know, whether she's a superstar or not, she had to have a really, really hard race. So, you know, I would have taken her on anyway. I'd take her on with a favourite now. Well, the favourite now, Sea Silk Road. I thought she did everything right at Goodwood, going the right way. You know, William Magus has got, you know, loads and loads of this type of progressive group horse in your stable. I'll side with her.
Okay, yeah, Seasick Road for Bertrude, probably going to be a clear favourite in the market there. And Mystic Wells for Chris in the Ribblesdale. Now we move on to probably my favourite Group 1 of the week. It's the Gold Cup at 4:20, over 2.5 miles. And look, hopefully we could see Stradivarius potentially get his fourth Gold Cup, but it's not going to be easy. Kyprios is your 13-8 favourite. Stradivarius is priced up at 9-4. Trushan and Princess Zoe 8-1. Trushan, Alan King in the just yesterday said it's unlikely he's going to be running. Scope is 10-1, may not run either. Mojo Star 14-1 and 25-1 bar those in here. Probably a simple question here, Chris. Can Stradivarius do it?
I think at the prices, I would rather side with Stradivarius than Kyprios. I think I think Kyprios was the wise guy's horse. Coming into this, unexposed, could have bags more potential to offer at the trip, but he's 11-8 now. I was kind of hoping he might have been around maybe the 3-1 mark, 10-3, but he's far too short for me to get stuck into him. He won at Leopardstown last time out. He couldn't have been more impressive. I'm not sure what that form's worth. And away from that, I think he's got to step his game up a little bit. He could well improve, but Aiden O'Brien hasn't had a real good stayer, you have to say, since Order of St. George. I know Kew Gardens did beat Stradivarius, but he's not had a proper good stayer for a while. And I just think Stradivarius might still be able to have one more big day in him. He's going to love the conditions. Princess Zoe, I think she might have been a little bit fortunate last time out in the Sagara Stakes. And then you're looking at the rest of them, and I don't think they're that good. So I think from working it out, I think Stradivarius, I think he might get his day. Kyprios is the big danger, but I can't see anything outside of them two getting involved.
Well, Chris is looking forward to potentially the big story on Thursday, seeing him win. I'm not sure whether he's going to do it. I really hope he does, but I've got a feeling his big story is going to come in the Goodwood Cup, where he'll be going for five of those. Birchie, Stradivarius, the eight-year-old, taking on plenty of young pretenders in here. Do you reckon he can do it?
Yeah, he can. He can. But I remember we were talking off air before the postcast on Friday.
Yeah.
And you said what you've just said to us now, that you thought that the big story was going to be Goodwood. You know, the Group 1 Goodwood Cup in August or late July, whenever it is. Yeah. And that makes a lot of sense. I think if you said to me which of the two races is he most likely to win, the Goodwood Cup or the Ascot Gold Cup, I'd definitely say the Goodwood Cup.
Yeah.
But Trushan is not going to be in this race, is he, by the looks of it? I think if the ground was good or good to soft, you know, you'd be with Trushan all day long. I think he's going to run a really, really big race. And if Kyprios isn't as good as people have been making him out to be, he can definitely win it. So, you know, it's a fascinating watch race for me. I'll go with Stradivarius. I'll go with him to win.
There we go.
I think he's more likely to win the Goodwood race.
Yeah, no, look, we can all hope. It's not a betting prospect, I don't think. I think it's gonna be a good watching brief, but I just hope that we get the big story at Royal Ascot on day three with Stradivarius winning the Ascot Gold Cup. Right, that's it for the races that we're going to be previewing on the first part of the postcast. Obviously, like I say, Bruce is going to be back on Thursday, where he's going to be going through the final 2 days. But before we leave, gents, instead of just getting a nap this week for the whole meeting, I'll also get a long shot, something at a fair price potentially for the whole meeting. So, Birch, I'll start with you. Give us two.
I'm going to give you a nap. He's fresh in the Wokingham. Been laid out for the race for a long, long time. Was second in it last year. I think everything's gone to plan. James Fanshawe's great at this meeting. I think he's got a great chance, even though he's 8 or 10 to 1. And lots of people will think I'm going to be absolutely mad, but you've asked me for a long shot. I could have gone for any of the other, God knows how many races there are at Ascot this week. But my long shot is also in the Wokingham. And it's the horse that beat him. It's the horse that beat Fresh in it 12 months ago, Rohan, at 25-1.
Okay.
He's been mainly campaigned in Group 1 company since. He hasn't been totally disgraced. And I just don't see why he's 25-1. So my nap is Fresh. But I must have a saver on Rohan.
Okay, two in the Wokeham for Birchie there. That comes at 5 o'clock on Saturday, so look forward to that one there. Chris, the nap and long shot for the meeting for yourself.
Yeah, I'm going to be looking to Thursday in one of the handicaps for the knack. The one that I quite like the chances of, he's run about an 8-1 shot I see at the moment, is Post Impressionist for William Haggas. He's going to be running in the 305 King George V Stakes. It's a handicap I really enjoy every year. Get a lot of good horses running this. Post Impressionist, he's going to be making his handicap debut off a mark of 89, but he was a real eye catcher, I thought, in that race that we were talking about earlier with Elder Arderoth. He actually had to give away a penalty as well in that race. They were both racing off 9 stone 9. The third in that race, Honiton, has since come out and won at the weekend at Sandown. A lot of form in behind that has been boosted. Quite a lot of the horses have been running well. I think he could be thrown in off a mark of 89, and I think there's a lot more to come from him. So he probably would be my nap of the meeting if you can get a good draw. And one a bigger price, I don't know if he is going to run, but I think he will be a price if he is. We haven't got the entries for Saturday yet. Is in the Queen Alexandra Stakes evaluation. He was entered in the Ascot Stakes on Tuesday, but he wasn't high enough in the weights to get in. He's been winning a couple of those Sky Bet Series races on the Sunday. He won at York. He won at Musselburgh, and I was very impressed by his Musselburgh win. He showed a turn of foot that I've not seen before. I think he just wants an out-and-out trip on fast ground. His dam is Estimate, who, of course, won the Ascot Gold Cup for the Queen nearly 10 years ago now. So if he was to run and win, I think that would be a fitting end to Royal Ascot. He would be running in the last race to Queen Alexandra Stakes. You just have to keep your eyes to see if he gets declared. But he would definitely be a horse I'd be interested in if he runs. And I think he could be a bit of a price as well.
Okay, there we go. One for the final race of the meeting, the 6-10 there. Definitely one to keep your eye on for the meeting. That's it for the postcast then. Like I say, Bruce will be back on Thursday. He'll be joined by Graham Robway and another new guest to the postcast. Rosie Margson will be joining for the final 2 days of the Royal Meeting. That'll be with you Thursday afternoon rather than Friday this week, so don't miss that. But thanks very much for listening. Do subscribe and rate these shows if you are enjoying them. And as always, do remember to gamble responsibly.